Blog Talk Radio.
You were the first in this family to get into college.
I'm so proud of you.
I can't go, can I? I just can't afford to send you.
You didn't mean to let you down.
I understand. Maybe next year. Maybe. Hard-working students deserve a chance. Please, support the United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste.
This is a product of WBNN. This is a stand-up guy with Oladele Ngozi. On air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Call in at 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Again, that number is 516-453-9133. Good evening, everyone. I am your girl, Chinchilla Jonesia, a.k.a. Chinchilla J, and welcome to this very special show tonight. And tonight's show will be centered around something very powerful that most people here in America have forgotten about. But guess what? We here at WBNN did not. So we're going to be talking about the National Black Political Convention tonight with Brother Oladele Ngozi. And also our special guest tonight will be Brother Huni Bakatun, E. Davis, and Genesis Amaris Kemp. Now, for those of you that don't know anything about the Black Political Convention in 1972 in Gary, Indiana, you're going to learn about it tonight. You're definitely going to learn about it tonight and what the Black agenda was all about. And we've been fighting for so long for different issues concerning political agendas here in America. And the fight still continues today in 2022, which now this makes it the 50th anniversary of the very first Black Political Convention, the National Black Political Convention in 1972, which was headed up by the Gary, Indiana mayor at that time, and also Reverend Jesse Jackson, and you all know him. Now, a name that you may not know is Richard G. Hatcher, who was also part of that. So we had three men, Richard Gordon Hatcher, we had Charles Diggs, and Reverend Jesse Jackson, and they started that in 1972, which was the very first one. And this year is the 50th anniversary. And guess what? There will be a National Black Political Convention in August this year, August 4th to the 7th, in Newark, New Jersey, which your girl Chinchilla J is actually a part of. And more information will be coming, you know, in the months to come for that. But if you never look this up, look it up. Find out about it after tonight's show is over. Learn more about what Blacks here in America have tried to accomplish. And where have we gone, really? Have we really improved, really, in that area? We're going to talk about it tonight. So you're going to sit back. You're going to relax. You're going to enjoy the show and invite others to listen tonight by telling them to dial that number, 516-453-9133. And if you would like to talk, comment, or vent tonight, just press 1. And you will be placed into the caller queue. Now, we're going to bring on Brother Oladele Ngozi. And, you know, this brother is just an awesome man. And he has so much knowledge and wisdom. And, of course, those you know, he is the CEO of this network, WBNN. So he is going to come to us, and he's going to talk about this Black, the National Black Political Convention and its agenda. And you need to sit back and learn tonight, because you're going to learn some knowledge tonight. And one more thing I want to mention before I bring on Brother O is that in 1972, y'all, guess what? I was born in 63, so I was 9 in 1972. And at the time when that convention took place, I was 8. because I didn't turn 9 until August, so I was actually 8 years old. And I do remember when Shirley Chisholm, though you may not know her name, but guess what? She was the first black woman to run for president back in 1972. And, you know, she didn't win, but she stepped out on faith. She took that chance, and she had a lot of backing. And, you know, she didn't win, but she did run. And I remember when she ran, because I was in the third grade, and I remember that very vividly. And it was an exciting time. And as we look at today, we look where black women have come from and the accomplishments they had made in the political arena. So with no further ado, we're going to bring on Brother Oladele Ngozi.
I'm picking myself as a delegate tonight, and in my thesis, I am going back to 1972, even though I was not even 2 years old yet until July. So now I am a delegate, and I'm writing this thesis tonight. Come back in time with me. My introduction. The black agenda is addressed primarily to black people in America. It rises naturally out of the black and bloody decades and centuries of our people's struggle on these shores. It flows from the most recent surges of our own cultural and political consciousness. It is our attempt to define some of the essential changes which must take place in this land as we and our children move to self-determination and true independence. The black agenda assumes that no true basic change for our benefit takes place in black or white America unless we black people organize to initiate that change. It assumes that we must have some essential agreement on overall goals, even though we may differ on many specific strategies. Therefore, this is my initial statement of goals and directives for our own generation. Some first definitions of crucial issues around which black people must organize and move into 1972 and beyond. Anyone who claims to be serious about the struggle and liberation of black people must be serious about the implementation of our black agenda. My thesis one, what time is it? We move to Gary in honor an hour of great crises and tremendous promise for black America. While the white nation hovers over the brink of chaos, while its politicians offer no hope of real change, we stand on the edge of history and are faced with an amazing and frightening choice. We choose, and we may choose in 1972 to slip back into the decadent white politics of black life in America. Or will we press forward, moving relentlessly from Gary to the creation of our own black life? The choice is large, but let me tell you, the time is very short. Let there be no mistake. We move to Gary in a time of unchallenged crises for our people. From every rural community in Alabama to the high-rise compounds, the ghettos to Chicago, we bring this to the convention, the agonies of the masses of our people. From the sprawling black cities of Watts and Nairobi and our west to the decay of Harlem and Roxbury in the east. The testimony we bear is the same. We are the witnesses to social disaster. Our cities are crime-haunted dying grounds. Huge sectors of our youth and countless others face permanent unemployment. Those of us who work find our paychecks able to purchase less and less. Neither the courts nor our prisons contribute to anything resembling justice or reformation. The schools are unable or unwilling to educate our children through the real world of our struggles. Meanwhile, the officially approved epidemic of drugs wipes and threatens to do that change, to wipe out the minds and strength of our best young warriors. Economic, cultural, and spiritual deprivation and depression stalks black America this day, and the price for survival often appears to be more than we are able to pay. On every side, in every area of our lives, the American institutions from which we have placed our trust are unable to cope with the crises that they created by their single-minded dedication to profits for some and white supremacy over all. Chinchilla J., the mic is yours.
Thank you, Brother O. Okay, everyone, the National Political Convention, or the GARI Convention, it was held March 10th through the 12th, 1972 in Gary, Indiana. The convention gathered around 10,000 African-Americans to discuss and advocate for black communities that undergo significant economic and social crisis. Part of their goal was to raise the number of black politicians elected to office, to increase representation, and also to create an agenda for fundamental change. The convention also issued the Gary Declaration, which stated that the American political system was failing black Americans and that the only way to address this problem was to transition to independent black politics. All right, we're going to bring on Brother Huni Bakatun. Huni Bakatun, the mic is yours.
Peace. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, we can.
You know, first of all, it's an honor for me to be here and to be a part of something great. Thank you so much, Woman of God, Chinchilla. Thank you so much, Man of God and Stand Up Guy, Hall of Fame four times. You know, what you had already presented so far, it reminds me not only of that time, but this then time in which we're in, why it's very important for us to have our own everything. We need to be everywhere. Even though I wasn't raised in politics, I was raised very religiously, a rigorous religious regimen I have been put under for such a long time. Okay? But this is the reason why, because when you look at what's happening today, it's amazing how the government of America can send so much money and aid out of this country into another country, okay? And I'm not saying that I don't comprehend, you know, the tactics of war and how people need aid. I just want everyone to bear witness. Our struggle has been about coming together, doing something for ourselves, because nobody else is going to do it for us. And this is something that has been said from mouth to ear for such a long time, for well over 400 years. Matter of fact, 422 years, according to today's calendar. And we know that we got, as a nation that has been divided for such a long time, part of what's causing such a division is we don't tend to agree on the most important issues. We don't have to agree on every issue, but the most important issue, and that issue is our overall liberation from self and kind to each other, for our right to protect ourselves and each other, for our right to be able to support ourselves and each other the way any other striving nation is supposed to do. It's no excuse for us to have our own government in this day and time. With all the finances and stuff that we have had for such a long time, it's no excuse for it. So now, even though I know that our people have received a dirty deal for such a long time, okay, now, there's a lot of things in which we can do. We can get mad about it, right, or we can use that type of energy in order to fuel our fire for us to realize that no other people is going to do for us the way that we should be doing for ourselves. Now, during that time in 1972, that was coming out of the 60s movement, okay, from segregation. And notice now, that was one of the best times of us as a people. Why? Because we had no choice to depend on ourselves and each other. Okay? Now, that was a perfect opportunity for us to even enter that arena so we can be able to learn the game. You can't play the game if you don't know the game. And you can't make changes if you are not there. Okay? So I'm going to put this on pause, listen to the rest of the show, and I'll come back on, as always.
Thank you so much, Brother Huni Bakatoon. Okay, Brother O, the mic is now yours.
Beyond these shores, and beyond these shores, there are and is more of the same. For while we are pressed down under the dying weight of a bloated, inwardly decaying white civilization, many of our brothers in Africa and the west of the third world are falling prey to the same powers of exploitation and deceit. Whether America faces the unorganized political powerless forces of a non-white world, its goal of domination is by any means necessary, as it is to hide from itself the crumblings of its own systems and life of work. But America cannot hide. They can run to China and the moon to the edges of consciousness, but they cannot hide. The crises we face as black people are the crises of an entire society. Oh, they can go deep to the very bones and marrow, to the essential nature of America's economic, political, and cultural systems. They are the natural end product of a society built on the twin foundations of white racism and white capitalism. So let it be clear to us now. The desperation of our people, the agonies of our cities, the desolation of our countryside, the pollution of the air and the water, these things will not be significantly affected by new faces in old places in Washington, D.C. This is the truth. We must face it here in Gary if we are to join our people everywhere in the movement forward toward liberation. Real realities, black choice, the black political convention, indeed, all truly black politics must begin from this truth. The American system does not work for the masses of our people, and it cannot be made to work without radical fundamental change. Indeed, this system does not really work in favor of humanity of anyone in America. In light of such realities, we come to Gary and are confronted with a choice. Will we believe in the truth that history presses into our face, or will we, too, try to hide? Will the same small favors some of us have received blind us to the large sufferings of our people, or open our eyes to the testimonies of our history here in America? For more than a century, we have followed the path of political dependence on white men and their systems, from the Political Liberty Party in the decades before the Civil War to the Republican Party of Abraham Lincoln. We trusted in white men and white politics as our deliverers. 60 years ago, W.E.B. Du Bois said he would give the Democrats their last chance to prove their sincere commitment to equality for black people. He was given white riots and official segregation in peace and in war. Nevertheless, some 20 years later, we became Democrats in the name of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, then supported his successor, Harry Truman, and then tried a nonpartisan Republican General of the Army named Eisenhower. We was wooed, like many others, by the superficial liberalism of John F. Kennedy and the make-believe populism of Lyndon Baines Johnson. Let me tell you something. There will be no more of that. Both parties have betrayed us. Here at Gary, let us never forget, while the times and the names and the parties have continually changed, one truth has faced us insistently, never changing. Both parties have betrayed us whenever their interests conflicted with ours, you know, which was most of the time. And whenever our forces was unorganized and dependent, quintessential and compliant, nor should this be surprising. For by now we must know that the American political system, like all other white institutions in America, was designed to operate for the benefit of the white race. It was never meant to do anything else. Face the truth, folks. We are faces here in Gary. If white liberalism could have solved our problems, then Lincoln, Roosevelt, and Kennedy would have done so. But they did not solve ours or the rest of this nation. If America's problems could have been solved forcefully, politically, skilled, and aggressively individuals, then Lyndon Johnson would have retained the presidency. It's a true American way of unbridled monopoly capitalism combined with a ruthless if military imperialism could do it, then Nixon would not be running around the world making speeches comparing his nation's decadence to that of Greece and Rome. If we never faced it here before, let us face it here at Gary. the profound crisis of black people and the disaster of America are not simply caused by men, who they will be solved by men alone. These crises are the crises of basic flawed economics and politics and or cultural degradation. None of the Democratic candidates and none of the Republican candidates, regardless of their vague promises to us or to their white constituencies, can solve our problems or the problems of this country without radically changing the system by which it operates. Chinchilla J., the mic is yours.
Thank you so much, Brother O. Richard Gordon Hatcher, he was born July 10th, 1933, an African-American attorney and politician who served as the first African-American mayor of Gary, Indiana for 20 years, 1968 to 1988. And, of course, Mr. Hatcher, Mayor Hatcher, was one of the three men that started this movement of the National Black Political Convention in 1972. Mayor Hatcher died at the age of 86, December 13th, 2019. E. Davis, the mic is now yours.
Hey, good evening, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for just including me on this panel. This is a very hot topic, a very emotional topic, and a very prolific topic. I am a firm believer in building your own table so that we don't need any type of permission or doors open for us when they are intentionally shut. I'm just a firm believer in that. And as I listen it to all of Del Lango, they speak and you speak, it just, it's a confirmation on building your table and the rights that we as Black Americans need to obtain. And also the fact is, if you're not going to give it to us, we will take it. We will build our own table and make it available for us. So I'm definitely sitting here just marinating, enjoying what's being said today and the history of today.
Thank you so much, E. Davis. Brother O., the mic is now yours.
The politics of social transformation? So we come to Gary confronted with a choice? But is it not the old conventional question of which candidate we shall support? The pointless question of who is to preside over a decaying and unsolvable system? No. If we come to Gary out of the realities of the black communities of this land, then the only real choice for us is whether or not we will live by the truth that we'll know. And not only that, whether we move into organizing independently, move into the struggle for fundamental transformation, for the creation of new directions towards a concern for the life and the meaning of man and woman. Man, let me tell you, social transformation or social destruction are those real choices that we have. But if we have come together on behalf of our people in America, in the rest of this hemisphere, and in the homeland, but if we have come to our own best ambitions, then a new black politics will come to birth. That's if we're serious. The black politics of Gary must accept major responsibility for creating both the atmosphere and the program for fundamental, far-ranging change in America. Such responsibility is ours because it's our people who are the most deeply hurt and ravaged by the present systems of society. We're the vanguard. The challenge is thrown to us here in Gary. It is the challenge to consolidate and organize our own black world as a vanguard in the struggle for new society. Man, to accept this challenge, black people, is to move independently into our own politics, black. There can be no equivocation on this issue. History leaves us no other choice. White politics has not and cannot bring the changes we need. We come to Gary, and our change and faith a challenge. The challenge is to transform ourselves from favor seeking vassals and loud talking militant pawns to organize the masses of our people and also attempt to play ever since we came to these shores. There are the harbingers of true justice and humanity, leaders in the struggle for liberation of our people. The major part of the challenge is we must accept the fact of redefining and operations of all levels of American government. For the existing governing structures from Washington to the smallest country are obsolescent. That is a part of the reason why nothing works and why corruption rages throughout public life. For white politics seeks not to serve, but to dominate and manipulate. We have joined the true movement of the history, if at Gary, we grasp the opportunity to press man forward as the first consideration of politics. Here at Gary, we're faithful to the best hopes for our fathers and our people. If we move for nothing less than a politic which places community above individualism and love before sexual exploitation, a living environment before profits, peace before war, justice before unjust order, and morality before expediency. This is the society we need. But we delude ourselves here at Gary. We think that change can be achieved without organizing the power. That's right, organizing the power. The determined black power. The determined black national power, which is necessary to assist upon such change, to create such change, and to seize change. And as we turn to a black agenda for the 70s, we move into the history of truth. In the reality of the moment, we move recognizing that no one else is going to represent our interests but ourselves. The society we seek cannot come unless black people organize to advance its coming. We lift a black agenda, recognizing that white America moves toward the abyss created by its own racist arrogance, misplaced priorities, rampant materialism, and ethical bankruptcy. And therefore, we are certain that the agenda we now press for in Gary is not only for the future of black humanity, but is probably the only way the rest of America can save itself from the harvest of its criminal past. So brothers and sisters, the WBNN and our developing black nation, right here in 2022, we stand with the people in Gary in 72 as people whose time has come. From every corner of black America, from all liberation movements of the third world, from the graves of our fathers, our grandmamas, our great-grandmamas, and to the coming world of our children, we are faced with a challenge and a call. Through. The moment is perilous. We must not despair. We must seize the time, for the time is always right to do right, for the time is ours. We begin here now, right here, on this radio. We begin with an independent black political movement, an independent black political agenda, and an independent black spirit. Nothing else will do. We must build for our people. We must build for our world. We must stand on the edge of history. We cannot turn back in 2022. Chinchilla J, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Brother L. Charles Coles Diggs Jr. was a black politician from the United States of America in the state of Michigan. He served in the state Senate and also the United States House of Representatives. Diggs was an early member of the United States Civil Rights Movement, and in September 1955, the Michigan representative garnered national attention when he attended the trial of two white Mississippians accused of murdering Emmett Till. He was also elected the first chairman of the Congressional Black Caucus and was a staunch critic of the apartheid regime in South Africa. Diggs. He served as House District of Columbia Committee during the term January 1973 to January 1979. He was a member of the United States House of Representatives from Michigan's 13th District, January 1955 to June 1980, and he also served during the 3rd District of Michigan Senate during the years 51 to 54. That is 1951 to 1954. So, Charles Diggs was also one of the keynote speakers and organizers of the 1972 Gary, Indiana National Black Political Conference. Genesis Amaris Kemp, the mic is now yours.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor and privilege to weigh in on this conversation tonight. There's been so many valuable points that have been brought up to the table from Oladeli as well as Huni Bakatun and E. Davis. And whenever I think about what happened in history and I think about where we are now, I do see the progression, but I don't see the perfection. There is definitely work that still needs to be done. But each one of us today is coming together with our various insights, knowledge, and wisdom to bridge the gap to make this world a better place. It takes each one of us standing up and rallying together, putting aside our differences and accentuating the commonalities and being the voice to the nation. In order to see change, we must be the change that we want to see. We must liberate one another. We must look for ways to complement each other instead of being in competition with each other. We must bring the knowledge to the forefront and keep having these courageous but yet difficult conversations at time to really push the needle forward. If you haven't heard anything about diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, think about all the men and women that went before us to pioneer and pave the way, but yet they lost their life. But while they lost their life, their legacy and their foundation reigned on forever because they had the courage, they had the boldness and bravery to stand up and say, hell no, we won't go. We're going to take this to the next level. We're going to fight for justice, and we're going to make an imprint in order to drive an impact. The impact is now here for future generations to come. So what are we doing to continue to build out and upon their legacy by adding our experiences, our knowledge, and embracing that those times are gone, but we're still living in perilous times, and we have a rightful place if we remain steadfast and we continue to keep the torch lit and ignite the flames that are burning inside of each one of us? Because when you think about history, think about your ancestors, think about your grandparents, think about your parents. What have they done? And what have they instilled in you? Are you remaining dormant and allowing the things of the past to sour and corrupt your mind? Or are you going to allow it to enable you to continue to press on and fight for change, be the voice, and remember and allow yourself to carry on legacy? Because each one of us has something valuable to add. So today I'm adding value to this conversation by walking in my truth. I wasn't in history, but I am history in the making.
Thank you so much, Genesis Amaris Kemp. Brother O, the mic is now yours.
This is an editorial from me. My thought process of what's going on today, giving you more of a history lesson of what Gary and the Declaration of Gary was all about. In the early 70s, saw a collective outrage in the black community following years of discrimination and assassinations of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X. It led to a historic gathering of black leaders in March 1972 in Gary, Indiana. It led to a historic gathering of black leaders in March 72, and approximately 100,000 people gathered to channel that rage into political action and by setting a black agenda. We must emerge from this convention as an independent national black political agenda and dynamic programming for black liberation, and in the process will liberate all of America from its current decadence. That's what then Mayor Gary Richard Hatchett said while opening the convention. The convention was organized by poet and activist Amaro Emery Baraka and Congressman Charles Diggs Jr., the leader of the newly formed Congressional Black Caucus. The convention attracted black leaders with vastly different political ideologies like Coretta Scott King and Malcolm X widow Betty Shabazz, along with Black Panther co-founder Bobby Seale, celebrities Harry Belafonte, Isaac Hayes, Richard Roundtree, Sidney Poitier, Dick Gregory were among the 10,000 attendees as well. But tonight, as you saw in our marketing, one notable absence, however, was Shirley Chisholm. Let me tell you something, black people. I'm going to say this again. Listen to my thesis, or thesis, for those out there who want to correct. In my thesis, one notable absence, however, was Shirley Chisholm, who was making her historic run for president as the first woman and first African-American. Chisholm decided to skip the convention because organizers couldn't decide if they could endorse her. Before I go into the rest of my thesis, think about what I just said. We all coming together, no matter what type of ideologies we have. You can stand behind this black woman, this human being who is running for president. If all black people voted for Shirley Chisholm, it would have made a difference. But again, we take the lives. Back to my thesis. More than 3,300 delegates from just about every state in the country tried to reach a consensus around a black agenda on issues like affordable housing, improved health care, a guaranteed minimum wage, and political representation, including, of course, District of Columbia, among several other pressing concerns. One of the delegates at the convention was Reverend Al Sharpton. A young Jesse Jackson fired up the crowd with chants of "Nation time, it's nation time, it's nation time now." Baraka's poem on black nationalism. Black nationalism does not espouse black supremacy. It just simply says we want to be free. We want to control our communities. In later years, Jackson moderated his position on black nationalism and eventually ran in for the Democratic National Convention for president twice in 1982 and 88. But activists today, however, are taking cue from that 72 convention. Organizers have created a convention for nearly tripling the number of black elected officials in the United States. And before recently uncovered several photographs taken by an unknown photographer at a convention. She posted on the website, or her website, angelaport.com, a digital museum of black history. The convention adjourned without reaching a true consensus. Today, we have black people not reaching a true consensus. Our kids are dying in the streets. Our kids are dying in the streets without good and profound leadership in the home, which is start. I've said this many times in almost 10 years as a broadcaster. I do not care about the Hall of Fame. Thank you, elect me, thank you for all, whatever. I do it because I want to, not because of the Hall of Fame. And I tell you this much. Since 2013, I've said that do you know where your kids are right now? And this conversation that we're having tonight, do you know where your children are tonight? They should be listening to me. They should be listening to the people here at WBNN. Active consensus don't start out there in conventions. Active consensus starts at home. Discipline is never the enemy of enthusiasm. So if we, as a black nation, can garner our, you know, enthusiastic disciplinary action towards political and social change, they'll come up with another thing to destroy us. But let it be known that we are going to swing we are going to achieve, and we are going to have total victory. We speak that. Be careful of your tongue. Speak life. Speak life. Pele said it once. Love, love, and love. Once we love ourselves, we can love our fellow man and fellow woman and our children. And the love of our politics. Chinchilla J, the mic is yours.
Thank you so much, Brother O. Thank you so much. Jesse Lewis Jackson, born October 8, 1941, is an American political activist, a black activist, of course, and also a politician. He was a candidate for the Democratic presidential nomination in 1984 and 1988 and served as a shadow U.S. Senator for the District of Columbia from 1991 to 1997. Mr. Jackson is still a relentless civil rights activist and also a political activist. And I do want to mention that Mr. Diggs, who I mentioned earlier, he passed away at the age of 75 in August 1998. Brother O, the mic is now yours.
I want to thank Chinchilla J tonight, our outstanding news anchor. We're going to bring back on our folks in the same relative order. And if we have any other callers tonight, we'll bring them on as well. But this has been something that I count as victory tonight. The last time I did this, it was utter confusion, utter chaos, and we did not do a good job. And Honey Barkatu was on that show that night. But I believe we achieved a goal tonight. The goal is for everyone's opinion to be heard and everyone's opinion to be, you know, respected. We go back to Honey Barkatu for his final thoughts tonight on Gary and what we must do in Gary from this time forward.
Hey, Pete. Wow. First of all, you know, compared to the first time to tonight, it does justice. Finally. Finally. Okay, now, so look, 40 years later, think about it. I want y'all to hear me clearly. Think about something. Even though that we have been through hell and beyond, especially over here in the shores of America, right? Other parts of the world, but, you know, help starts at home. So now, look, 40 years later, can you imagine? Just imagine with me. One of the biggest stars in the entertainment world, the Jacksons, moved to Gary, right? Just think about this for a moment. When I look at the structures, and I look at how so many buildings and businesses and opportunities was abandoned 40 years later. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if they had took that opportunity for 40 years and concentrated on our overall liberation, like I said at the opening, to where we are now? And we as a people, soul people, never been anti-anyone. Fortunately, it would have it so that our concentration would be on everybody else's issues instead of our own, when everybody else don't have our best interest at heart, even when it came down to segregation, y'all. Let's face the fact. We was really in a better position when we were segregated compared to where we are now. Why? I applaud the opportunity of seeing human beings get along. That's a great thing. But to what expense? What expense shall we shutting down our businesses, our mom and pop stores shut down, our neighborhoods and stuff where we, you know, really, really knew each other and lived for, of, and by each other, all of that went out the window. We had no choice. We was at our best. But we had no choice but to depend on ourselves and each other. 40 years later, can you imagine if they had took that opportunity from then to now, which included putting our finances together, which included putting our political agendas together, which included finally realizing and accepting the fact that we are the people that deserve this. Why? Because we were the first ones here. Gary, Indiana could have been not just our first, it could have been a beacon light for other things in other parts of America to follow suit 40 years later. Just imagine. Thank you.
And, of course, Huni Bakatun, as well as the wonderful and outstanding Angela Thomas Smith, will be working on trying to give our own WBNN convention this year in Gary, Indiana. For more information, just contact Huni Bakatun or myself or Angela Thomas Smith. We'll get together, and we're going to go to Gary to meet all of the great hosts at WBNN. And, of course, the commissioner, Miss and Mrs. Ebony Dawn Starks, will be part of that consolidation. And now, our commissioner, Ebony Dawn Starks, with her final thoughts of this evening.
Tonight was a very powerful and a very epic show. I'm glad to be a part of this platform. Everyone's comment was very moving, and it just kind of just triggered a fire in me to want to do more for the Black community. So thank you very much for this show, for the awakening, for the awareness, and understanding the power behind our history.
Thank you, Commissioner. And the final thoughts now from Genesis and Morris Kemp at this time.
Tonight's show was a powerful segment, a segment that will go down in the archives for history in the making. Each one of us tonight was a part of history in the making by coming together, adding value to a conversation that needed to be had, letting our opinions curate the space, and really looking for ways to solidify what happened in the past, but then also doing our part to make sure that we don't repeat history, but we have progression. And that progression is working towards perfection. So tonight was a great segment once again, and I'm so thankful that I was able to be a part of this conversation. And being it legendary, because I truly believe each one of us tonight was legendary. So thank you again.
Tonight there will be no advertising at all. And I'm so proud of what we do here at WBNN. We're going to give our sponsors tonight, and I'm going to thank you so, so much. Now it's called the HBCU Fund, but it's still the United Negro College Fund. Our mind is a very, 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 very terrible thing to waste. And again, after our ad, the next voice you will hear for the final remarks of this evening will be our Deputy Commissioner of WBNN, our news anchor at News Forum, and her name. Say her name. Chinchilla J.
You were the first in this family to get into college.
I'm so proud of you.
I can't go, can I? I just can't afford to send you.
I didn't mean to let you down.
I understand. Maybe next year. Maybe. Hard-working students deserve a chance. Please. Support the United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Wow. This show was extremely awesome tonight, and I'm sure that the listeners have learned a lot about what took place in 1972 in Gary, Indiana. Now, as we look at then and now, 50 years have gone by. So 2022 marks the 50th anniversary. And how far have we really gotten? Well, we still have so much work to do because we still deal with the same issues that we have been dealing with for our whole history. And it's about coming together, yes, we can come together and we can collaborate. We can have a meeting of the minds and bring ideas and all things like that. But putting all that stuff into action is what we definitely have to start doing and put our differences aside. Because if we look at the qualitative, the life-affirming, substantive things that naturally occur whenever we are definitely unified and organized, we definitely make a difference. But it's about getting to that point. And we definitely need to get to that point because 50 years later, we're still having the same issues and the same problems. Why? Because we have not collectively unified. We have not become one. And that's what we need to do. We need to become one because we are a people. We are a race of people. We are one, and we need to be unified. So when we look at the historically ideological differences that have been an impediment to our progress as a people, because of a collective inability to respect our differences and to seek points of agreement and commit to working together on the issues and matters on which we can agree, then things would change. Like, for instance, with W.E.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington, they had visions for black progress that held overlapping concerns, duplication of efforts, and tremendous synergy. Yet the substantive, stylistic differences ultimately created a barrier to bridging the gap during their lifetimes. And time has proven that both were great visionaries who developed models still used today to educate young people and to move black people forward. But unity without uniformity, community without unity, guess what? We cannot continue to act that way and to live that way because there has to be unity in community and we have to come together as one in uniformity. And if we can do that, then we will have a working unity that will be developed with a strong focus on points of commonality. And then we can rise up and take our rightful places in society. I am Chinchilla Jonesia. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight to WBNN. Tonight was all about the National Black Political Convention, 1972 in Gary, Indiana. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. And remember to always stand up for what's right and to be a voice on purpose. I am Chinchilla J.